Father, I thank you and I praise you and I give you all honor and all glory. You are our true King and our true Lord. And in you and through you, all things are possible. And right now this morning, Father God, as we start into it, the Jewish people start into a new year and you're calling all of us into repentance. I'm just asking that you be with us in a powerful way, that your angelic host be here. And your Holy Spirit, we know, is already here. And Father God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who caused the event to occur this day through the death on the cross. Father, open our spiritual ears of understanding. Let us see and hear what thus saith the Lord this day. And let us be truly changed. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Friday I got an email, The Passion for 2020, and they said something that really struck a chord with me, and they said it's time that we start singing songs about Jesus and not about ourselves. We've been singing songs about, oh, because of him I got this and got that and got the other, but it's always exalting ourselves. And they held their meeting with singing songs about Jesus. So, and it was really it's really anointed. So this is what we're going to be doing until God tells us differently. I was telling you that we need to do a change in a song service. And when I heard that, it just hit my spirit really hard that this is where God wants us to be. So that's why you're going to see a change in the song service. And now. We want to exalt Jesus and not ourselves. All right, the world already knows what Jesus has done for us. Now let's just talk about who Jesus is himself. This morning, God wants to talk about holiness. I'm going to start out with Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2 through 20. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Children have I reared and brought you up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand, period. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly estranged. Why will you still be struck down? Why will you continue to rebel? The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint, from the sole of the foot even to the head. There is no soundness in it, but bruises and sores and raw wounds. They are not pressed out or bound up or softened with oil. Excuse me, your country lies desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. In your very presence, foreigners devour your land. It is desolate, as overthrown by foreigners. And the daughter of Zion is left like a booth in a vineyard, like a lodge in a cucumber field, like a besieged city. Doesn't that describe America right now? If the Lord of hosts had not left us a few survivors, we should have been like Sodom and become like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is a multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations. I cannot endure iniquity in solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Seek justice, correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is God's judgment on America. He's talking to America. This is how low America has stooped. If you're going to sleep, would you please go to your bed and do it? Don't do it in the church. Thank you. Keep your eyes open. You should have been sleeping last night, not in church. This is why so many are dying on the vine. They don't give God the honor that's due him. They don't respect him, his house. They don't respect his presence. Now, some will depart from the faith. Let's look at 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 through 5. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter day times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teaching of demons through the insincerity of liars whose conscience are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God in prayer. And we know that right now many are departing from the faith. And they're just saying everything they've ever thought, believed, or whatever was not right, and they've just turned to the world. That spirit lingered really heavy all last year. It was really heavy in the atmosphere. And a lot of churches closed, a lot of pastors stepped down, a lot of saints left their houses of God, of worship, and are doing absolutely nothing. And this lockdown stuff that's been going on, that has increased the desire of people not to serve God. It has given them the out they've been looking for, to just sit home and do absolutely nothing. But God is saying, you children, you need to understand that I am with you, not against you. And I am leading, guiding, and directing you in the right path that you should go. And he's also saying, I'm not the author and finisher of confusion. And when you get into confusion, you need to understand that the enemy is afoot trying to take you out of my perfect will. This new dispensation that, you know, all right, so they're saying Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of a new year, and it is. It's the days of awe, which it is. It's a day of repentance. I mean, you know, 10 days of repentance, which it is. Now, I looked it up 2 years ago. God told us we were living in the days of awe. We were living in the days of repentance, and he called us to cross the Jordan. If you're a forerunner person, then you have already done the things that they are now doing right now. We should have already crossed over the Jordan. We should have already repented, and we should already be walking in this new era that God has called us into. Now, I really want you to sit and think about this. Did you cross over the Jordan? Some didn't. Did you go up into the third heaven? Some didn't. This, I guess, might be another reprieve. I don't know for sure. I don't know. But I wouldn't miss it this time around if I were you. Because these days are not going to come around again. All right, now this is what God said. Children, what is your prime purpose in life? Do you really know? Is there an importance in your life, or are you like shredded paper that has gone through a shredding machine? When I look at you, I see a whole person, not one that the enemy has been shredding little by little. I see a mighty branch that bears much fruit. I do not see hopelessness. I see a mighty warrior that has become strong because of the many storms you had to wage. See what God sees? I see a strong tower that many can run into because you have weathered the storms of life and come forth with a forehead of flint and a backbone of steel. Now stop there. Are you this person God's talking about? Are you one that the enemy has been shredding little by little? Or are you what God sees, a whole person? Are you a person that is a strong tower that many can run into? Or is the enemy still knocking you off your feet, causing you to become weak instead of strong? So you have to look at your own life, and you have to work out your own salvation. You are the one that has to, through Jesus Christ, build yourself up. Another person is not going to do that for you. They're just not. There's too many out there right now that the enemy is using to come against you, to pray their prayers that, you know, that's going to curse you, to do things to you that's not godly. You are going to have to pay the price, and that's being a strong tower that others can run into. And you, how do you become that? By staying in the presence of God. We, you know, America has just put God totally out of the picture. The return is it going to be this month?
Yeah. It's going
to be Saturday the 26th. All right. And I really would admonish you, you need to really go there. It's at the Capitol, right?
Yeah, but you can do it on simulcast.
Oh, you can? Okay. I read a little bit about it last night, but it's called The Return, and God's calling America back to Him. He's calling us to complete and total repentance and not to slide backwards ever again. I'm telling you guys, God wants to restore America back. He wants to bless us and not curse us. And all this stuff that's going on in the world, if you notice, it still has not gotten America's attention. America keeps sliding backwards and backwards and backwards. You know, now they have places of immunity for pedophiles. Right here in America, you know, and there, people are suing different pastors and stuff because they say that homosexuality is wrong and they're getting away with it. There's just too much going on that's dark, and the church is not light enough to break the darkness. All right? And you already know that. If you're one that's a bright light, then don't get upset when I say stuff like that. We know that not everybody is a bright light that sits in the house of God. They're just not. I don't care what they say. They just are not. And we have to come to grips with that. I had to come to grips with that when I was first born again, because I thought the church was just about the best thing going until I got in there. You know, born again people, spirit-filled people. And I never saw such corruption all my life. And it's still going on. It's getting stronger and stronger. God is saying, America, turn around. Serve me with all your heart. Let me bless you the way I want to bless you. God went on to say, why do the heathen rage? Why do they have no peace? Why is unrest all across this nation? He said it all boils down to not knowing their Father in heaven. It all boils down to no hope and confusion on all fronts. Now, he says, why do the heathen rage? But as he says this, this describes a church to me. You know, he said, why do they have no peace? The church doesn't have any peace. Why is unrest all across this nation? It all boils down to not knowing their Father in heaven. It all boils down to no hope and confusion on all fronts. Now, how many of you people know people that you've talked to that have been in church all their life? And when you start telling your spirit, you know, when you're spirit filled and you start telling them about the true Jesus, their jaw drops open. They can't believe that they've never heard of it before. That is a shame. In church, we are the problem. You know, the church is the problem. The church has not been out there preaching the proper gospel. They've not been out there living the life that the Bible tells us to live. We have to take the blame where it belongs. And it's in the church. And, you know, what has God been saying? You know, he's been shaking, and he has to shake the church first. He's been telling that for us for years now. There are people coming on board saying the same thing, that God is shaking the church first. And he's been shaking everybody in this room quite a bit. You know, sometimes you think you can't shake no more, and here he goes shaking some more. He's going to shake everything out of us that is not of him, if we allow him to. Now, Psalm chapter 2, verse 1 through 3 says, "Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed." Against who? The anointed. See, we know that they're doing it against the Lord, but we also need to understand that if you're an anointed child of God, the enemy is attacking you too. "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." We need to stay far away from people who don't want anything to do with God. Shake the dust off, their dust off your feet. You've done all you can do. Now you just have to walk on. All right. Then God said, "Have I not invited you to come up into my heavenly places? Have I not said that I would lead, guide, and direct each and every footstep? Then why are you planning out your own future?" And I hear that all the time. "Why are you allowing the enemy to pull you off course at every turn?" You know, think about, God's asking you questions here this morning. Think about these. "Have you not read in my word where he is a defeated foe?" You're the enemy. "Do you not know that he is the author and finisher of all confusion?" "Where did I go wrong?" This is God speaking to us. "Where did I go wrong that you will trust in darkness and not in light?" That's a shame he had to ask that question. Then he goes on to say, "I did not go wrong. You allowed the enemy of your soul to pull you aside and whisper one lie after the other into your ears until he has you in total derision." You see, this church, we have to come to grips with this. You allowed the enemy to do what he did with you, or is still doing with you. You are still not submitting yourself totally and completely 100% to God. Right now, if you're really following God with all of your heart, you're walking in the Spirit, trying to do everything God's telling you to do, the enemy is after you with everything he has in hell. He's fighting you like he's never fought you before. And so you don't get all upset. You just know that you are a true child of God and that you have a great calling upon your life, and the enemy's trying to take you out before you get there. And it is a fight. It's a fight to the finish. And you have to fight. God went on to say, "Deliverance will take place as you change fathers and come into my presence and close your ears to the enemy and open them to my still small voice." So what did he say? Deliverance will take place as you change fathers and come into my presence and close your ears to the enemy and open them to my still small voice. Guys, God's been telling us to open our ears to his still small voice for too long now. And he's still telling it to us. So that means that we are not opening our ears to hear what thus saith the Father. We're still listening too much to what thus saith the world. How many of you just don't even care to hear the news anymore? It's nothing but one lie after another. You know, and I can't even believe that people believe the lies. We are truly living in the last days. And the church has really gone astray. And I'm believing that the church is starting to get its voice back. I'm believing with these younger ministers are coming into the gospel, I believe that they're going to bring the voice of God back into the church. And you guys who have submitted yourself to God and went to the woodshed more times than you care to talk about and allow God to take all the junk out of you, that you're going to stand as strong towers, and God's going to use you as a mouthpiece to voice who Jesus Christ truly is. All right. God went on to say, "America the Great must turn around, repent, and give her all to me, the living sovereign God. Then I will hear from my holy mountain, and I will come to her defense, and I will tear down the walls of division, and I will show her mercy once again and build her up to the excellence, up to excellence once again. And you, when God uses the word America, I call myself America. So I'm saying God's going to build me up once again, you know. Because we as a unit, then we become America, right? We as a unit become the church when we all come together. And so when God talks about anything like that, I make it personal. God, whatever's in me, take it out of me. Tear it down, build me up. Do whatever you have to do, Father. Throw me on the potter's wheel again. Do whatever you have to do because I don't want to miss what you have for my life. And it's all been a struggle. It's all been a battle. From day one of being born again, always the enemy's been after me. And I want you to understand that even though he's after you, you have joy unspeakable. You can enjoy life. I don't know about you, but sometimes I like a good battle, don't you? You know, I want that devil to know who I am in Christ, that I'm God's child and he can't have me. Then God said, there is coming a great day of judgment upon the entire earth, and I do not want my people involved in that great judgment. I want my children to be seated in heavenly places with me, arms lifted high and seeing my train fill the temple, just like Isaiah. Don't you want to be seated in heavenly places? Right now, talking to the Father, alive and well, and coming back down here to this earth with all the anointing of God upon you, that I don't care where you walk, you take holiness with you. And you remember what God told us for walking on holy ground? Remember he made our feet holy, the other service? So every place we go, we just tear down the kingdom of darkness. All right? Or did you forget that already? But so we forget so easily. And we need to quit forgetting the good things that God has done for us and to us and through us. And we need to forget about what the enemy's done. Whatever he done is done, right? And we need to move on in Christ, knowing that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Then I said, the day of judgment is a determination of whether you lived a life of righteousness or wickedness. The day of judgment is a determination of whether you lived a life of righteousness or wickedness. I know a lot of you sitting in here today, you know people who think they're going to go to heaven, and they're not. Their fruit is so rotten, but they truly have their self convinced that they're going to go to heaven. My word tells me you walk out your salvation how daily. God once told me, daughter, be watchful because any given second you could lose your salvation. I'm sorry, this once saved, always saved is not in my word anyhow. I can't find that anywhere. You walk out your salvation. Somebody else can't do it for you. Then God went on to say, holy, holy, holy will be the cry of my faithful ones. Holy is the Lamb of God. Holy is the Father that abides in the heavenlies. Holy, holy, holy. How many of you just in this past week, you just been sitting and all of a sudden you start crying? But you know it's God. And you just start crying. Like, just yesterday I was conversing with my family and I just started crying. I said, is there something wrong? And I said, this has just been coming over me. I just start crying. It's God moving upon us. God wants us to feel his presence more and more and more. And when he moves upon you, you know it's him. And there's just something changed within you. As if you watch yourself, I watch myself very closely. You'll find out that you weren't the same before you cried. You know, after you cried, you weren't the same. You were some, God's changing us. And he's changing us into the image of his son, Jesus. Now, do you really want to be in the image of his son, Jesus? Or is this just some lip service you're going around talking about? God needs holy people. Jesus was holy. God told the Holy Spirit's holy. The Godhead is holy. And we can't run around saying, well, I'm just like Jesus if you're living for the world. You can't do that. Do you know how confused the world gets when they see that? You know, a child who's in church all the time professing Jesus and they're out there cussing and doing drugs and doing all kind of lustful things, and the world's saying, what's going on here? That's how I was. I was not a sinner, and I always went to church where I got born again. I went to these spirit-filled churches, and I never saw so much lust in my life as what was in the spirit-filled churches, in the pastors, in the leaders. And I'm thinking, and I was in confusion. What's going on here? And then the Holy Spirit started showing me, started teaching me. Here's what you have to do. You have to be God's individual person. And just because somebody else in the house of God is sinning, that doesn't mean you can sin. You have to stay holy and you have to stay pure before God. And you have to make sure that you are a true example of what Christ is all about. You men, you can't go around lusting after every woman that you see. You have to stop that. If God wants you to have a woman, He will send a woman in your path. Women, you have to stop dressing to entice men. That's not godly. You have to dress like a woman of God should dress. All right? And when you dress ungodly, you attract ungodly men. Is that not right? Say amen. Come on. God says, children, there is no distance between you and me. I am always just a whisper away, and I'm always working behind the scene. And Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. So the Bible tells us that if we sin, we're the ones that causes God's face to be hid from us. And we're the ones that causes Him not to hear. Quit blaming God for what you yourself are doing. Quit blaming your husband or your wife or somebody else for what you yourself are not doing. God told me the other day, Friday, He said they're always blaming somebody else for what's happening in their life, and they're never taking the blame upon themselves. So children of God, don't be one of those. You know, if you mess up, you mess up. I was upset the other day, and I said, you know, to my family, I said, if I was to die right now, I'd go straight to hell. I know when I shouldn't be doing something. Come on, I know when I've stepped over the line. And I admit it, and I repent to God. But I let my family know, too. After all, I bleed the same as you bleed. I hurt the same as you hurt. And I sure don't like what you're doing to me. You wouldn't like me doing it to you. And what I just said and did was not godly, and I'm sorry, and then I repented. And I go on. I don't act like I'm somebody I'm not. I'm a child of God that has feelings just like you have feelings. I bleed just like you do. And there is a righteous anger. The Word says so. Are you understanding this? But don't act like a fool and act like the devil while you're doing it. And don't carry it on for hours and hours and hours. You get mad and you get over it with it, right? You go to God and you throw a fit to Him. And then you repent, excuse me, for throwing the fit. And then you go on. Makes you feel good, doesn't it? You get all that junk out of you. And then you're free to go on and enjoy life. How many of you in here, you were like me, you just held everything in and just held everything in because after all, child of God doesn't get upset. And after a bit, one day I exploded. That bomb went right off. And see, if I'd have just got it out there when it happened and wouldn't have had no bomb, you know, come on. Why do we think we quit being human once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? Why do we all of a sudden think, well, you know, nothing's ever going to bother me in life? I read my word about Jesus and things bothered Him. Bothered the disciples. I don't relate myself to Jesus. I relate myself to the disciples. Because, you know, because Jesus sort of knew how to control himself, right? But the disciples let it all hang out. Come on. I'm not telling you to be something you're not, because that won't take you to heaven. So then Jesus, God went on to say, too many are listening to the voices in the world, and they are turning their hope into fear. Close the ears to the world and set your sights upon me and my holy mountain, and watch me turn the storm. Close the ears to the world and set your sights upon me and my holy mountain. God's talking about his holy mountain a lot lately. You know, he really is. Talks about his holy mountain a lot. Sights upon me and my holy mountain, and watch me turn to the storm. Children, I have wonderfully made you so you can weather every storm that life throws at you. Now, if that's the case then, and God doesn't lie, then how come you fall apart every time a storm comes by? Blows off your shutters, or, you know, your feet or something. So God said, children, I have wonderfully made you so you can weather every storm that life throws at you. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I can do all things. I am not a limited father. The enemy is limited, God says, but I have all power and all authority in every circumstance in life. I am your catalyst into all that is new. I send forerunners out to pave the way for the second coming of my son, Jesus. It is I, the Lord thy God, that has been doing the great and mighty works all across this land. Do not get caught in the snare of the fowler. Choose peace over turmoil. Choose love over hate. Choose faith over fear. Children, choose all the best things in my word and watch and see what I will do for you. This is sort of a heavy word God's given us today. But if we would just take this into our bosoms, it will change us. Now, since you've heard this word, you're going to be tested and tried. Because after God gave me this word, the next day was a mess. And then the day after that was a mess. But I know where this all comes from. And I battle him and not the people that he works through. All right? Psalm 124:7 says, we have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Now, do you believe that? God's word says, we have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Have, not will. Come on. Get it in your spirit this morning. Get your spirit this morning. You don't need to be bound by the enemy. You really don't. Because the word tells you you're already free. Then God says, where are you headed, little ones? That is a question you need to ask yourself every day, just not now and then. Did you ever, some days you just seem like you're sticking your head in a hole somewhere? Do you have to ask yourself, where am I headed? I'm not going anywhere with my head in this hole, am I? So get your head out of the hole. Get it back up into the heavenly places and allow God to work through you. Come on. Isn't God good? He's the best thing you ever come across. He feeds you fresh manna from heaven every day, just not every now and then. Where am I every day? Every day, your day should start out with the question, where am I headed today? Is it in the direction that the Father is in? Or am I headed down the slippery slope of the evil one? I forgot he said that, and I got ahead of myself. Every day, your day should start out with the question, where am I headed today? Is it in the direction that the Father is in? Or am I headed down the slippery slope of the evil one? Now, you remember that little phrase, right? So when you're out there trying to do your own stupid thing, ask yourself, where am I headed doing this? Am I really headed in the direction God wants me to go, or am I making my own way? you know, is an example that, you know, little Isaiah's been feeling really needy lately, and so he thinks he has to be close to me at night too. And so I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll lay down at the end of the bed, you know, crosswise at the end of the bed, and then your feet will touch my shoulder and we'll be close together. And so he's okay. Well, during the night, you know, I'm at the edge of the bed. For some unearthly reason, I decided to roll over. And I always tell myself, you can't move now. If you do, you're going to fall out of the bed. And when I rolled over, I said, oh, no, what have I just done? As I hit the floor. And I said, the first thing I said was, thank you, God, that I'm fat, because I might have broke my hip. God, I have all that padding on, right? And then, you know, I didn't want to go down. I went down the slippery slope there because I didn't have my right mind to me. See, just little things in life. You got to, you know, and I said, thank you, God, for allowing me not to be hurt. Gabriel jumped out of bed. Are you okay? You okay? And then he said to me last night, he said, Mom, he said, I was really scared, but you look so funny flailing in the air as you went off the bed. I've never fell out of bed in my life. But see, for an instance there, I forgot where I was headed. And I went in the wrong direction. See what I'm saying? You know, God is really good. All right. This is a daily check time. Times have changed and nothing in life is as usual. We all know that. Well, I know that. I don't know if you know that or not. Each and every day has its own twists and turns, and you need to be listening to my still small voice to know which way to turn. Okay. Do you know that running the church is the hardest thing you could ever do? Because if you're not listening to the Holy Spirit, you can make the biggest mess you ever want to make in your life. And it's a if you're the pastor, it's a constant listening to for the voice of God. And it's a constant, you know, knowing that at any given second, he could change everything of, you know, your sermon, your song service or whatever, your seating. I heard seating arrangement, but he could change anything he wants to change because after all, he's the head of the church, right? And it is hard. So if you want to go out there and start a church, you get ready to work. It's because it's not easy, and it's 24/7, nonstop work. Because you have some sheep that are pretty stupid, you know, and you have to constantly be leading them. Now, that I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. But, you know, if you've ever been a leader with people, you know that some are a little thick-headed, and they just want to do their own thing. Yeah, Barbara, you were one. And they want to do their own thing. And so you have to constantly be leading them until they finally get the gist of what is going on. You get them in the still water. Amen. Come on. You know, I really believe with all my heart that's why so many churches close down. Because people get out there and they think it's really exciting. And they get out there and start churches that they aren't called to start. And they just can't do it. Because if God isn't in it, he's not going to keep you either. I didn't want a church. I already saw what was going on in church. And I said, God, not me. And anyhow. So I want you all to think about this before you go out there and do all this. It's easier sitting there in the pew, believe me. Some of you know. All right, Isaiah 30, chapter 30, verse 21 says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. I think sometimes God gets behind some of you and smacks you in the back of the head. And said, what in the world are you doing? You got completely off course, right? And Jeremiah 6:16 says, this is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. And isn't that how the church is? God, you're not going to tell me what to do, God. I'm going to do it my way. And he says, go ahead. He will. He'll step aside and let you do whatever you want to do. This is the Holy Spirit, you know. He will not go against your will. God said, children, I know it is rough, but I have been warning you of this season of darkness. I don't know what else to tell you. My word tells you to in Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. See that? It's Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. How many of you never come now and reason with the Lord? You reason with your own intellect. You call somebody on the phone. You write some emails. But you never go before God and reason with Him. Okay, well, example, about 4 days ago, I had something going on in my life, and I'm sitting there thinking, who could I call that would understand? I don't have anybody I can call that will understand where I'm coming from. And God said, I'm listening. God said, I'm listening. He said, you come to me because I know what to tell you. And how many of you don't hear that still small voice? And you make the mistake of calling somebody. And they get you more messed up than what you were before you made the phone call. So I really believe God's telling you the very same thing. Come to me, I'm listening. I really racked my brains thinking who I could call. I'm being honest. And really, truly, I knew that I should be talking to God, but I didn't want to. I'm being honest. I just wanted to talk to some people about it. Why are we like that? We all know better. We all know better. And God said, how many times do I have to tell you it's just you and I? It's just you and I. You have to come to me. Other people don't understand you. Believe me, they don't. Okay? They don't understand you either. They don't have any idea where you're coming from. And so why are you going and talking to them? You know, I thought of this, and then now they won't understand. I thought, now they won't understand. Nobody, it was just God. He understands you. I might think you're quirky, but He thinks you're great. See? Because didn't He wonderfully make you? Dear Lord, look at us. He wonderfully made each and every one of us sitting here this morning. And are we ever different, aren't we? Well, Brother Mark, are you ready to start your church? Take care of all those people. I know you are. Where are we at here? Let's talk this thing out, little ones. Let's get this straight once and for all. You have a mighty works to accomplish and such a short time to accomplish this work in. There are no more excuses, little ones. The die has been cast and the lot chosen. The die has been cast means that an irrevocable choice has been made. And I looked up Lot. They did lots all the time in the Bible. So God said the die has been cast and a lot chosen. In other words, God has already ordained what you're going to accomplish in life. And He's not going to change His mind. Are you ready to line up with what He wants to do with your life? But then why are you always trying to change His mind? Right? There's so many people trying to change God's mind. You just think you know what you should be doing better than God does. Well, quit trying to change His mind. He says, the die has been cast and a lot chosen. Now Romans 13:12 says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. All right, church? Holiness. It's all about holiness. It's all about walking in the purity of your Maker in where He's called you to be. Revelation 12:10 says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. The word of God tells us that the accuser of the brother has been cast down, which is the enemy. But we overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. All right. Now, have you overcome? If not, you need to be pleading the blood of Jesus from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet and get it together. Get that blood working in your life. And Luke chapter 9, verse 1 says, then he called his 12, Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Then God says in Matthew 22:14, for many are called, but few are chosen. Now, are you one of those disciples that he sent forth? Were you called and then not chosen? That's a question you really have to ask yourself. Were you called and then not chosen? I've seen in my years, I've seen many, many that are called, and because they will not bow their knee to God, they are not chosen. They're just called. God has a plan, a purpose for every life that's created. But we have to work for God, work with God to make it all come to pass, right? Are you shredded paper or are you a whole person and a strong tower? Remember in the beginning, God said it, that the devil's been shredding us. And God wants to know, are you a shredded paper or are you a whole person and a strong tower? This word that God gave us, and I said, God, why I want to teach about Rosh Hashanah. He said, why? Why? You can read all you want. He said, I need to talk to my people because my people have gone astray and I need to get them back on course quickly. And Alan, you say, God says that you get ready and everything, and you say, God, I am ready. Why not send me? And God said, you're too impatient. You have to wait with right along with everybody else. The day's coming. And he still has a few things he has to teach you yet. He said, the day's coming when you're going to be out there, and then you're going to say, God, can I go back and rest? And God's, and then I'm just telling you about him here, and then God's going to say, no. You have plenty of time to rest. Now it's work time. You must have a time with God. You really get with him, don't you? Well, at least he gets with God. God, I want to go, I want to go, I want to go. Do you? Do you get with God like that and wrestle with him and say, I want to go? I'm ready. I'm willing to do anything you call me forth to do. Are you one of those? Are you one of those in Luke 9, 1 through 12, 2, then Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Think about this. There's too many of you sitting in the house of God right now in this house who should be working for God, and he's still changing your diaper. You're still not to the place where he can do the overflow work in you that he wants to do. God wants you to change fathers to this morning. You either completely, totally get rid of the devil in your life, or God can't use you. You need to quit blaming everybody else for what's going on in your life. I'm just going to share this. Last night, my two grandsons are back in my life, and they come down about every Saturday. We just put aside Saturdays for them because they're trying to reconnect. And we were sitting there talking yesterday, and something happened upstairs. I said, well, I'm going to have to go up and see what's going on. And I went to stand up, and I had no feeling from my waist down. I fell, but I fell into... Alicia was standing there, so she caught me, and then the boys picked me up and set me on the chair. I had no feeling. And so then we sat there another half hour, and it was late at night, so then they left. I said, I won't get up because I don't know if I can get up. I'll wait till you leave, and then I'll work my way up. They walked out the door. I stood up, and I've been standing up ever since. So I went to God. I said, God, what was that? He said, it was the attack of Jezebel. She's still trying to take you out. And then I said, well, God, what sin am I in that she had that power over me? He said, tell me about Paul. He said, remember Paul. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And we all know that thorn in the flesh was somebody following him around, harassing him. Now, this person that was in the room years ago, Brother Christopher and I tried to do, well, we, no, we didn't try. We did a deliverance on that person. But we could not get this Jezebel spirit out. We worked and worked and worked. And I said, why won't you come out? And it said, because I have been sent to work through this person to destroy you. Take your life, and I will. We could not get that Jezebel out. And we've been trying to get this person to come back in for deliverance, but they won't. And they're getting more and more bound up. But that spirit stood in front of me and paralyzed me from my waist down. But as soon as that person left with that spirit, I got up and walked. Now, you can say that's not true, but that is true. That same person, I was up on a ladder one time. We was working down in this basement. And I made that person mad, and that person said, I wish she'd fall off that ladder and hurt herself. I immediately fell off the ladder and broke two ribs because I landed on a block. And I wasn't in sin then either. And the glory of God was moving mightily. So then God said, you have to look back at my disciples and my word. Look what they went through. Look how they were harassed. Look what happened to their lives. And they were sinless. We're sinless too. So I'm telling you this, don't get so cocky about your walk with God that you think that, you know, once before I told the enemy, I laughed in his face, there's no way you can never touch me. And God said, daughter, yes, he can. He just can't kill you. And he took me back to Job. I'm refreshing your minds on this to let you know that once you step into that arena of really leading God's people, the enemy's going to really get serious with you to take you out. Now, I immediately called a lot of prayer people to, well, not a lot, but a few prayer people to pray and cover me because I knew I need reinforcements at that point. There's times you're going to need reinforcements. And you're going to have to get rid of your pride, and you're going to call and say, I need extra prayer covering right now because I'm in a battle. And see, there's other lives that I'm working with, too, that the enemy's trying to kill them. And it's only because that I'm standing in the gap that he can't have them. And he's mad at me because he can't take these lives out before God uses them. That's going to happen to you, too. If you're really serious with God, if you're really walking in holiness, if you're really walking in purity of heart, and if you're really standing on the word and trusting your Father, you are going to be attacked viciously. Somebody say, oh, you should have never said this. I'm not afraid of the devil. I'm not, but I have to teach you. I have to tell you the truth, that you are not invincible. How many times did they try to kill Jesus? But he got away from him. Come on. So this morning, serious. If you truly want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you truly want to walk in the fullness of his power and authority, then you're going to have to change fathers totally and completely, 100%. And the altar's open for that. This is why Aaron and I worked together, and this is why we did the song service. First of all, we gave God ourselves. Here we are, Lord, Matt Redman. And then at the end, we sang the river. I want you guys, if you're truly sincere with your walk with God and very serious with your walk with God, you're going to lay in the river this morning, and God's going to resurrect you into new life. It's up to you. But don't do it if you're not serious. Because if you do it playing around, you're going to be in a mess. The altar's open for those who are serious about truly changing the way you're walking and walking in the fullness of who God really is.